Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 2 hours. First of all, we're going to talk to somebody about Hillsville Community Emergency Hub, and then between 1 and 2, our private investigator, Peter. He wasn't able to be with us last month. He was in court, so it might be interesting to find out what he was doing in court. He guarantees me that he wasn't a defendant, but anyway, we'll see. So I know he's done quite a bit of homework. But first of all, it's my pleasure to interview Joy. Joy is with the Hillsville Community Emergency Hub. Welcome, Joy.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you for inviting us.
Not a problem. Now, Joy, first of all, tell us what the Emergency Hub is and why it was set up, or why it's being set up.
Thanks, Alan. Well, the history of the Emergency Hub was that it was set up originally with the help of DECA, which is the Department of Environment, and the Shire of Yarra Rangers and the CFA through the Safer Together programme. And this came about after the bushfires in 2009. And the group we were involved with were trying to educate locals on bushfire safety. Since the inception of that group, which is still going, and they're doing a great job, we've sort of sectioned off a little bit because we discovered during the last few years Hillsville, which is quite an isolated town, has had a few emergencies. We've had floods, we've had power outages, and it became apparent that we really are cut off, and it does take the emergency services, which do a fantastic job, 72 hours to get fully operational. Yep. So our objective is to fill that space with community help.
By doing what sort of things, Joy?
Well, it's a self-help group.
Yep.
Now, a good example of this was very recently when Hillsville suffered a big power outage for 3 days.
Yeah, we know, we're in the middle of it.
Well, it was funny because, well, it wasn't funny, but you had half the community had power and half didn't.
Yeah, some of them was one side of the road had it.
Absolutely.
And the other side didn't. Yeah.
So, but what happened was what we're trying to foster was that community effort. You saw people putting up on Facebook, "I've got power. I've set up some charging stations outside my house. Come in and I'll allow you to have a shower." And it was all about community helping each other.
Because one of the things that I guess has changed a bit is that a lot of homes no longer have landline phones, either, do they?
Absolutely.
They only have the mobile.
Yeah.
And that's okay, but if you can't charge it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So our idea is to come up with a hub that can set up immediately under any circumstances and provide that, just a place for people to go to feel safe.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot of elder people in Hillsville who feel completely isolated when things like that happen, and they probably don't want to leave their home. So it's an opportunity for somewhere for them to go and touch base with other people and to feel safe.
Joy, are we talking about in that instant that this hub would have food to be able to feed people? Is that part of it?
We didn't envisage it being, keeping in mind we're talking about the first 72 hours.
Yep.
So what we aim to provide is probably water, charging facilities, a safe place you could have a shower, catch up, have a cup of tea and coffee. Probably not start on the wheels thing, because after 72 hours, the Shire of Yarra Valley, Hillsville, would set up a complete emergency hub.
Yep.
So we're just filling that gap. And it could be that, you know, it's a storm where there's a tree across your property, and we could get people to say, "Oh, I've got a chainsaw, I'll come and help you clear that tree. Right. Whereas, you know, the SCS, who do a fabulous job, it could take them a week to get to your
property. Well, I mean, they could have 300 call-outs because yours is not the only tree.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is where it's a self-help group. We're looking for people who just want to look out for the neighbours, really. Yeah.
Do you see any that may be through your group, places like Rotary and Lions might get involved as well, or is it more just the public?
No, absolutely. In fact, this is the stage we're at the moment where we're trying to go out to these groups, Rotary, Lions, the local football club, all of these groups, to make them aware of what we're trying to do so that we can press the switch and say, right, the hub's open and they can come and help and provide some facilities.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more. I must say, we've just hit 10 degrees, so it'll be interesting to see whether we make the 12, but probably will this early. Anyway, I'm talking to Joy, and she's from the Hillsville Community Emergency Hub. Joy, before we go any further, what got you involved? Why did you hear about this and think, I should get involved?
Well, I must admit, I've only recently retired, and I did work for DECA in communications, and I was very involved in bushfire planning and this initial group that started.
Yep.
But I'm delighted to stay on board as a community member because I feel so passionate that this is something we really need. I'm actually despite my accent, I've actually been in Healesville 50 years. So I'm nearly a local.
I've got to ask you, did you come out from overseas as a young lady or as a child? Or?
Yeah, I'd like to say very young, but I was actually 19. But right. Yes, I've been here many years.
I don't want to get off the track, but what brought you to Australia?
Well, at that stage, to be quite honest, in England, they virtually did such a big campaign to lure young people to Australia, they virtually walked down the street lassoing you.
Did they?
And they had things at the cinema advertising swimming pools and sunshine all year round.
So I just want to pursue this only for another couple of seconds. So did you have family out here when you came?
We had one auntie who sponsored us, and I came out here with my sister and her husband, and eventually all our family joined us. So we've had a wonderful time in Australia, bringing up a whole new generation of Aussies.
Yeah, and you've lived in Healesville for 50 years?
50 years in Healesville. I've been in Chum Creek for 45.
Yeah, but in the whole area for 50?
Yep.
Unbelievable. All right, so we're talking about this. If in the case of an emergency, it could be a bushfire, could be floods, could be anything. You're going to set up a hub. So where's that hub likely to be, or is it going to move from place to place? How does it, or where have you got in mind to set up?
We are hoping it will be mobile eventually, but it has been a little bit difficult trying to come up with a hub because we needed something central. You've got Chum Creek, Badger Creek and Healesville.
Yep.
We have finally managed to obtain one, thanks to the Shire of Yarra Rangers, that we've come up with the community link, which is next to the library, opposite Coles. Don't know if you're aware of that.
Yeah, I'm going with you. Yeah,
and
yep.
It's got access where we can have 24-hour access.
Yep.
Without affecting the library or the shower facilities. It has toilet facilities, shower facilities, and an area where we can get people to meet. Well, and that is a central point in Healesville that we felt. Now, if for some reason the emergency was in Badger Creek or Chum Creek, eventually we're hoping to be able to just relocate to that area.
All right, so it's got two reasons. let's just explore this a bit further. Is the first reason that people can come there because they're isolated at home and that they really need to talk to people and charge their phones and that? Or is that A, is that the reason for it? Or B, is it a case of that's where all the volunteers come, so we send them off to jobs from there, or is it both of them?
A little bit of both. The first one mainly, where somebody who feels alone and isolated can come to that point and see their neighbours there and feel comforted that there are people who can help them. It would be fabulous to get people who come along with skills that can assist. Yep. But we're not asking people for qualifications to come and help. We want anybody standing and breathing almost that can offer assistance, and that might be just making people a cup of tea or just having a chat to them and calming them if they're stressed.
So now we can stretch that out a bit, because obviously part of today's interview is to help you get other volunteers and to get the word out. So it doesn't have to be like if you've got it, you're good at a particular school like Chainsaw and that you'd like to hear from them, but you'd also like to hear from other people who are just prepared to come along and perhaps sit and talk to people, because, you know, the people that kind of come in are going to be pretty stressed, aren't they?
Absolutely. That would be the main factor. And, yeah, we're not getting locked up and tied up with, you know, saying you have to do this and that to be part of our team. We just want people to come along. Can I just tell you about an example? Yep. We had with we had a visitor come from New Zealand who actually works in emergency management. His name was Dan Neely, and he came and he talked to our group about what happens in New Zealand with earthquakes.
Yeah, now they have a few of them.
They have them all the time. Yep. And we've got the idea of this hub from New Zealand, where they've got them set up in every community. And they're so successful. And he gave us some valid tips on how it became successful. And he said, don't get bogged down with trying to provide too much. It's an initial stopgap until we're not trying to reinvent the wheel.
Yep.
You know, the emergency services do a fabulous job. Deka, they're ready to go if there's a bushfire or flood. You've got the Shariah Rangers, they've got an emergency plan. And they're all there, but it's that first 72 hours when you're likely to be sat in the dark at home with no electricity and thinking, oh, what am I going to do? You can't contact your family. You feel totally
isolated.
Can't
charge your phone.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this is what we're trying to cover. And all we need is a band of army of people who turn up and say, I can help you with that. Or if you've got a tree across your driveway and next door neighbour comes in, he's got a chainsaw, oh, I can help you with that.
Yep.
I mean, SES do a fabulous job, but like you said, they could have 300 calls.
And they can't be everywhere in the first 24 hours either.
Absolutely. Mm. So, yeah, and the CFA too have been really part of our group and have been very helpful in helping us decide on what would work and what wouldn't. Yeah.
So that's a point I was going to bring up. So the emergency services don't see you as a pest, because sometimes, you know, people...
Absolutely.
Get too involved and think, oh, yeah, I can tell them what to do. Yeah. So they've actually picked out a slot where they see that the emergency hub would work.
We
well.
See a vacuum of where we can help. But, yeah, they've been very helpful, the Shire and the Deka. They came along to our meetings and explained what they've got to offer and how they would jump in, and gave us some direct contacts for when there is an emergency.
And showed you where there were some gaps in what they were doing.
How we could get in touch with them, and assured us that they'd be there when we need them, but we're just trying to fill that void.
Now, a couple of times you've mentioned Deka. You need to tell the listeners who that is, because they won't know.
Well,
a lot won't know.
The old Department of Environment, Land, Water and Planning. It's now the Department of Environment. And, they are group in this area. They have a emergency centre at Warrialook, and they set up there.
Oh, where the CFA are?
It's their building, yeah.
Yep.
And they would automatically go there. The police go there, the Shire go there, Deka, and they form the plan. But it does take 3 days for everything to be fully operational.
Because that where you're talking about that CFA, that CFA headquarters is sort of, I think, the regional manager or whoever it is that looks after some of the other areas is based there too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, we've actually interviewed them once before. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're back with more.
Oh,
Now, unfortunately, Joy, when we're with all these groups setting up, they all cost money. So I guess somewhere along the line you must have got a grant to help you to set it up.
We were lucky, Alan. We got the Shariyara Rangers had a storm recovery grant available.
Oh, right. Yep.
And a couple of our members who are very clever at applying for grants through the Bendigo Bank's assistance as well. We got a small grant. Now, it was just enough to buy things like we've got fridge magnets where we can advertise the hub, and some flags that we can put outside the hub so people can see where we are, and some equipment that we could use, like a marquee, to so we can go to markets and things and advertise what we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So we were very grateful for the grant. And like I said, that helped us to purchase. And we have actually sponsored a few things as well with the money to try and promote our community hub.
Yep. All right. So where do you store that equipment until it's needed?
Yeah, well, that's one of our big issues, which we'd like to appeal to the community. Storage. And it's not a lot of equipment, but it's equipment that we would need in a hurry.
At a moment's
notice. So we need
24-hour
access where we could just store these things so we can go and pick them up and set up the hub. So if anybody's got a spare garage or something they're not using, I thought most men won't part with the garage, I don't think. But
there's a few, quite a lot of properties around Hillsville that are a few acres where they could quite easily have a shed sitting there. You want something that's sealed up, because you don't want it getting dirty and that sort of stuff, too.
But that would be great if anybody's got something like that. They want to help us out. That would be good. We can just pick it up and set up at the community link, which will be outside Coles, opposite Coles, next to the library.
Yep.
Which should be very visible if the, you know, when there is an emergency, most people gravitate to Coles.
Yep.
And I think they'll be on board to it, directing people to us.
Oh, that's good. So anybody who's got a spare garage or a shed on a property, but you need to be able to get in there at a moment's notice, any old time, and as you say, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Excellent.
That would be terrific. All right, so we've got to take another break in a couple of minutes, but what we'll get Joy at about 5 to 1 to give you the contact details. Look, it sounds like a great opportunity. Joy, with a volunteer, what sort of, apart from, are you looking for people to join your committee, or is a committee, you've got enough people, or are you only looking for people to do work when unfortunately there is a bit of an emergency, or are you looking for people other times?
We've got, we'd like to invite the whole community. If you're interested in what we're doing, and maybe you can offer us advice on what you'd like to see happen in Hillsville in an emergency, come along to our meetings. We meet once a month in the Darren Honey Centre, in the middle of town, on 5:30 on a Wednesday.
5:30 on a Wednesday.
And we would love to have you on board, and just to even come and see what we're doing or offer suggestions, you'd be more than welcome.
What Wednesday of the month? Not sure?
I think the dates, I'm not sure about the dates, but it'll be up on our Facebook page, the right actual dates.
Which will...
But it's always a Wednesday at 5:30.
So when we get towards 1 o'clock, as long as you have a bit of paper and pencil, Joy will give you and tell you where you can find them on Facebook. Have a look at it. If you can help them out, go, or if you're just, maybe you don't want to join the committee, maybe you don't want to help, but maybe you just want to go and learn a bit more about it. So go along, you'll be able to find out. So if you have your paper and pencil ready at 5 to 1, we'll give you all those details.
Thinking about letting it out, I wanna get Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Joy, I guess one of the things we just probably need to stress is that you're not trying to duplicate anything that the emergency service is doing, are you? You're there really to help the community rather than worry about the actual emergency. Is that fair?
Absolutely, yeah. We're just trying to fill that void of that initial 72 hours before the emergency services come. Keeping in mind that Healesville, you know, we've got our sort of one road in and one road out.
Yep.
So if anything happens, we really are isolated for that initial time. More so than if you were in the suburbs, you could just go to the next suburb.
Yep.
So this is why we are a little bit unique in that way, that we have that void of, you know, we're on our own for a few days before they can come in.
And really, you could argue that you've only got one exit, because you'd be pretty brave to be going up into the hills.
Absolutely.
If it's a bushfire, so you've only got the one exit out.
Yeah.
Joy, who's going to decide what the emergency is that you roll out to? What somebody has to say, this is what the emergency we need to touch.
Yeah, well, the trigger point really is just going to be common sense. Like recently, a few months ago, when the power outage was on, that would be a good opportunity. Any opportunity where we think that we could be of assistance is when we would up the ante on opening up the hub.
What I'm trying to get at, you're not going to turn up or start just because, like, a car goes through a fence or a car goes into the house, is it? It's got to be something that's going to affect the community.
It's something that where you know things look dire for a few days and you're going to have to do something about it.
And not just for one person. Like, it's not if it involves one house, is it? It's going to be something that involves quite the community.
It's going to be a major emergency. It could be fire, flood, or power outages, which, you know, is so regular in Hills.
Or it can be a storm, a big storm.
Yeah. So, storm is, these days, it seems to be getting worse, the emergencies. So I think we need to be prepared. And all we're asking is that people think we're not promoting people staying in bushfires, you know, still listen to the CFA, do what they, exactly what they say, have your plan in place. But if you find yourself stuck at home and nowhere to go, well,
and no facilities.
You know, you can make your way to the community hub and you'll have someone there to help you assist. And we'll be in touch with the major organisations all the time so that we'll have a direct line to them.
And I mean, you're not suggesting in their plan, if people want to leave Healesville at their first opportunity, then that's what they should do.
Absolutely.
Still, isn't it?
Yep. Whatever's safe for them.
Yeah, because I remember talking to someone and they said, oh, if anything happens for us, we've got a daughter who lives down in Ringwood or somewhere, so we're out of here. And you can't blame them if that's their plan.
Definitely that's the way to go, and you need to be more prepared these days. But, I mean, in Healesville, lots of people now have generators and... Yep. But one of the faults of that is people forget that they run out of petrol.
That's absolutely the truth. And the other thing is too, and I noticed this happened, I think, when this last power outage, but certainly when they had the big storm went through, because I interviewed the mayor at the time, the problem with that was people said they'd run out and buy a generator, but the first few got them, and after that they weren't there.
Yeah.
Got to take a quick break and we'll be back now at the end of this. We've the interview is fast coming to an end, so please get your paper and pencil and Joy will give you some more contact details. computer, that was Fleetwood Mac. It didn't sound much like a Fleetwood Mac to me. But anyway, I could easily be wrong. Anyway, I should mention, after 1 o'clock news, we'll have P.I. Peter with us. He's been doing some homework for us, and also we've got a couple of questions to send him away with for next time. So we'll just see. That'll be after 1 o'clock news. And, of course, I'll be back on Sunday between 12 and 3 with Music Memories and More, hits of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and Sunday night between 6 and 8 with a rock and roll hit parade. And also, I think I'll be here for Have a Little Faith, because it's Greg's turn to have a night off. He's here nearly all the year round. So anyway, we'll worry about that. So we'll have a great time on Sunday. But I'm talking to Joy from the Healesville Community Emergency Hub. We've been telling you a lot about it. Now, couple of things. If you feel as though you'd like to volunteer, or you'd like to find more about it, or if you've got a storage space, hopefully maybe on you've got a factory or something where you've got something out the back where you could offer them some space. So Joy, please tell us, you've got us excited. How are we going to find out more about it?
Thanks, Alan, and thanks to Yarra Valley FM for inviting us to try and just let the public know in Healesville that we're around. That's the whole idea of today. The main part you can contact us at the moment is through the Facebook page, which is Healesville Community Emergency Hub. Now, we realise we can't give you a phone number, because that's probably the first thing that will go down in an emergency. That's why we're trying to promote everyone in Healesville local knowing where this community hub will be, which is at the community link opposite Coles next to the library. And if we activate the hub, as soon as we realise there's an emergency affecting the whole of Healesville, and we're not trying to duplicate the emergency services, they'll be on board, but it can take realistically 72 hours for them to be up and running. So we just need people to be aware that we are there. The committee has worked tirelessly to get to this stage. I'd particularly like to thank Michelle and Rachel for all the work they do, and Bruce Argyle also for
we know Bruce.
He seems to have his foot in every camp in Healesville. Yep. But it's been really useful having him on board as well, and all the committee members who've put in to make this happen. So it's good that we look like it's come to fruition. We've got we're up and ready to go. We just want to promote it so that everyone in Healesville knows we're around.
And of course, we hope it's never going to be used.
Absolutely. We just want it never to happen, but these days we've had so many emergencies that we have to be prepared.
Look, I totally agree. There's nothing worse than if you're running around, everybody's running around trying to do something. It's much better if it's coordinated through a group. Because I remember a couple of the fires, and I'm not talking about Healesville here, but Rotary wanted to do something, Lions wanted to do something, a lot of other people, the Salvation Army, and all of a sudden, unless you're all trying to duplicate the same thing. So it's a lot better if one group, you know where you can go. And as I said right at the start of this interview, we often forget that probably 50% of people don't have phone lines anymore.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, in the old days they could get burnt down and that could cause problems. But nowadays, once the battery's flat on your phone, it's not very good. Joy, just off the subject, we've still got a few minutes. What brought you to Healesville? We know you've come out, and you came out as a young lady at 19, and you've obviously made your life, but why, out of all the places, did you choose Healesville?
Well, I'd have to say I was young and foolish, maybe. No, not young and foolish. Just in those days, it was an opportunity to see the world, do something different. In fact, we came over on a ship and on a month's journey. Yep. And I must admit, I was seasick every day. But, it was just excitement. It was an adventure. But we fell in love with the place from day one. and never wanted to leave, and have made, like I said, we've produced some wonderful Aussies who are now
doing their bit
for the community.
But you still haven't answered my question, why Healesville?
Oh, Healesville is beautiful. I mean, I just love Healesville.
But how did you find out about Healesville and what brought you here?
Well, I just think we actually settled in Box Hill initially.
Right.
And we're in the eastern suburbs. The auntie that sponsored us was in Forest Hills. So we were always out this way. And, of course, on a Sunday you'd go for a drive, and when you got to Healesville, we just thought it was the best place on earth. And Chum Creek in particular has just been a lovely place to bring up a family. And my main thing now that I'm retired is just the wonderful community with U3A and the people that I still meet now that I didn't even know in Healesville after 50 years. So it's just...
That's one of the joys of U3A, isn't it, too? And I know we've spoken to John many times. And hello, John, if you're listening. And I know John will be in the next couple of weeks to talk about U3A. But it's not only when you go to things like U3A, it's when you go down the street to do your shopping, you run into other ladies or men and you talk and you have a coffee, and it really sort of brings the whole thing together, doesn't it?
Absolutely. That's what I really love about Healesville, is that sense of community.
Joy, we weren't able to give them the actual day, or the actual week that your group meets, but if they go on to Facebook, the dates will be on there?
Yeah, the dates are on there. So a Wednesday at 5:30 at the Darren Honey Centre.
And that's behind a church in Healesville, isn't it?
That's right.
On the right-hand side as you're going out of town towards the Black Spur. Just can't think of the name of the church. I know I've seen it there.
It's the Uniting Church.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right. Look, Joy, it's been terrific having you. We've still got another couple of minutes to go, so we'll just run through a couple of things together. How will people know if there's some sort of an emergency, how will they know when this hub's up and running? Will it be on Facebook, or how will you let people know?
Well, it will be on Facebook, but we're aware that if all the electronics are down and you can't get on your phone... Yeah. We will have, that's where this grant came in handy, with being able to purchase the flags that we can put up outside the community link. So you just make your way to that area, and if the flags are up, then we're open for business.
I'm just not sure at what level, you're talking about the trigger points, but at what level are you going to decide that this is an emergency we need to be
on? Trigger points are just going to be on a common sense basis, virtually.
Right.
That we don't have a criteria that you have to
do
this. It's just going to be, oh, look, I know half my street haven't got power, there's a bushfire coming. It'll be just common sense on whether we need to activate it or not.
But it's going to be something that involves a few people, isn't it,
definitely. It'll be a major emergency. Yeah.
Well, we hope that it's never needed, but unfortunately, the way things are, we seem to... there was a major storm only a few years ago went through, and I know it did the dandenongs and a lot of damage here. We've had... luckily, they said we were going to have big fires last year, and they didn't occur, so that was terrific.
That's right.
But it can happen any year.
Yep.
And I guess the worst part with fires, the longer it is, the more fuel there is too, isn't there, when a fire does start?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Joy, it's a great concept, and I've said to you both on and off air, at times of emergency, people just don't always know where to go. So to have somewhere where they can go, and I guess in this hub, would you see that people like Red Cross might come along and sort of give people other aid that your hub won't?
Well, yeah. Well, but again, that will happen after 72 hours, virtually. Yep. So we're just filling that void of that initial emergency where you feel you've got some company.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's it's really, well, as you said, it's a case of, well, I guess the other thing too, that when if people are going to volunteer, it would be handy for you to know what their skills were too, wouldn't it? So that, you know, if you need someone with a chainsaw, you know that you've got.
Well,
that
we're hoping. Well, when the man came across from New Zealand, that's he gave us examples of how he would open a hub. People would turn up and say, "Oh, I can help with that," or yeah. "I've got a chainsaw," or "I've got a trailer," and it is a self help group. Yeah. It's communities helping each other.
You can't do better than that.
That's what we want.
You can't do anything better than the help, than the community doing stuff for themselves.
That's right.
And they'll do a lot better than anything else.
Rather than sit back and wait for the government to do everything,
yep.
You know, we're taking some action and getting people to help each other.
Sounds good. Joy, unfortunately, I've got to go. The news and weather is knocking on the door, so thanks very much for your time.
And thanks, Alan, for your time.
No worries. Thank you.